Blog Talk Radio.
The men's edition. Good morning, Blog Radio. We're just getting live here with our Facebook as well. But good morning. Today's September 23rd, I believe, right? All right, good. I made it. All right, September 23rd, and it's a beautiful day, Monday morning, and we're just waiting for Pastor Bobby. He's about to sit back in. But good morning, everyone. We're live in all the other Facebooks, I guess, too. Today we have a great topic. We're pleased to have you here. And whose voice you listen to? Good morning, Dante Colicchio, 11421. Good morning. Contact me, Dante. Good morning, Joseph Casale. Good morning. All right, who else? I think we're alive and everyone. My brother Tom is watching. Good morning, Tom. So awesome. 11421 in the house.
Oh, your real brother?
Yeah, my brother. Yeah, by DNA.
Good morning, Tom.
Tell mom I said hello. Good morning, and we're pleased to be here this morning. I'm with Bobby McCann, Pastor Bobby McCann.
Good morning.
First World Church.
Woo!
And we have a great topic today, and whose voice you listen to is the topic today, and something I heard that on the way in this morning, listening to the radio. Our preacher was preaching about it, and it's important. It's not just important, it's critical. There's life and death, and we have to know who we're following, because if we're following the wrong voice and the wrong doctrine, it could lead us all the way to the wrong place.
Yeah.
So true. We need to know. And how's everything this morning, Pastor Bobby?
Okay, real good. Yeah, you know, you're talking about that. Whose voice are we listening to? And even as believers, you know, the enemy is going to be talking. I mean, there's just no getting around it. But we can hear his voice and we can shut it down. We don't have to listen to it. And, you know, he's going to continue. I mean, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
And Revelation, it says that he's come down with great wrath because he knows he has a short time. So he's talking more and more, trying to deceive people. And we just have to be on guard. The Bible says be alert.
I'll tell you right now, so the responsibility is completely upon us. As Christians, as believers, to understand the word of God, to also put on the armor of God to protect ourselves. Yeah, there's times that we're going to help others and people are going to protect us and we're going to protect them. But man, the ultimate responsibility is on yourself. Just as a soldier, ultimate responsibility is on him.
Yeah.
To as well to stay, take cover and to attack, but to play defense too when possible. So,
and you know, you're talking about a soldier, you know, if the military gives you weapons, they give you a weapon to use, and you don't use that weapon, who's fault is it?
Well, yeah, and that's right. And we only got an hour here, but there's way more to this topic than we're able to cover today in the time. And we implore you to go out and go check it out yourself to really get it. Ephesians 6 will really tell you about some of the things that God has given us. And we're going to say, and I'm going to talk about it right after I read the first scripture. The word of God, it's the word of God, and we're going to understand this today. And it's the word of God that's really going to set you free. Not only set us free, but it's going to guard our hearts and our minds. And we know this. And it'll give us peace as well.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there's so many promises ahead of them.
Pastor Rick just put on here, we position ourselves to hear the voice of the good shepherd.
Well, yeah, he understands too, because he's a pastor.
That's right.
And he's been following the Lord for some time, Pastor, and he's got wisdom. You see, we got to watch. And the people that I was listening to this morning on the radio, they were talking about, here's the thing, we're doing a show, Pastor Bobby and I, but guess what? Don't take my or Pastor Bobby's word for it. What we hear should entice you or interest you enough that you will open up and follow up yourself.
That's right.
And God will give you the revelation personally. The Holy Spirit will guide you personally.
Yeah.
We'll start you off. We'll supplement you, but you need to go in to find out more. It's about not just reading the Bible. The Bible is a great place to start. But the voice of God, you need to hear the voice of God. And if you're reading the Bible and you're not hearing the voice of God, maybe you need to take it slow and really, you know, pray as you're and meditate. It says meditate on this word.
Yeah.
Don't just read it like you're about to take a test and remember it just for one night. This is a lifetime. This is going to take you into eternity.
Yeah, and the Bible's God-breathed. So, you know, what I do before I read the Bible is I pray that the Holy Spirit enlighten the Scripture to me. The Bible's alive.
You know, it
says it's alive, powerful. And so I just ask the Holy Spirit to make it come alive to me in my spirit. And then when I read it, he does it.
I could explain it to you, but it's not going to do any good. Just like if I could tell you how good a hamburger I ate at this hamburger shop, it's not going to do any good until you experience it for yourself. I could tell you how great the Bible is. I could tell you how amazing it is, how it set me free, how it set me ablaze and changed my life completely. The things I once believed and loved in, I don't even think of and I can't stand anymore. It completely shifted my mind 180 degrees. It renewed my mind. It renewed my heart. Gave me a new spirit. And it caused me to walk in the ways of God. And instead of the ways of this world. So I can tell you all this. I can write a book about it too. I can testify in front of Congress. But guess what? Until you experience it yourself, you're never going to know.
That's right.
Because words can't describe it completely.
That's right. All right,
Bobby. You want to pray as him, bro?
Yeah,
Bobby,
for sure. Yeah, I want to pray for my brother-in-law.
Okay.
As he's having surgery.
Good.
And he's in Florida, and he's an awesome, awesome guy, man. Good. I've got two brother-in-laws that are really, they're like brothers to me. But, Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We just ask you right now, Father, to be with the surgeons, with John, Lord, and just touch them, guide their hands, Lord. And we just thank you. I just thank you for my brother-in-law, John, Lord. And I just pray your peace over the family, Lord, and this speedy recovery in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. And I pray right now that every heart that's listening on the radio and watching on Facebook, Lord, that their hearts are soft and pliable to receive with meekness your implanted word, which is able to save our souls, Father. Let us listen to your word and not the voice of a stranger, Father. Just open it up to us, Lord, and I just thank you for it and praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Good morning. All right. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Billy Glover.
Woo! All right. Here it is. I'm going to start it off. And if you're following through, we're going to open up the First Kings. Maybe you don't have a Bible with you. Maybe you're driving, maybe wherever. I hope you're not driving if you watch on Facebook. But anyway, just write these scriptures down and study this, because this is I'm going to tell you something. This is about life and death, not in the flesh, but this is a spiritual life and death. This is eternal. This is eternal. So, you know, you don't care that much about eternity. Don't worry about all this stuff. But if there's a seed in your heart planted by God, we need to water it. And this is how we water it, through the word. Okay. In 1 Kings, it says in chapter 19, we're going to start at verse 11, going into 12. And this is the New King James Version. It says, "Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And that's what God was. So basically, Elijah is right now, let me just give you a little backdrop on this story. Elijah's running for his life. Jezebel is after him and wants to kill him. And he's nervous. He's stressing. He's out there. He's running for his life. He's hiding now in a cave. Okay, he's hiding in a cave, and he's wishing he was dead because he thinks the whole world's going to get him. But he forgot about the one that's protecting him, is above everything else out there. So here it is. He's sitting here. So he's trying to hear the voice of God. But here's the thing. He's stressed out. He's got everything going through his mind. This is where I feel in my heart. But God uses the earthquake, the earthquake, the fire, and as well as that, the wind, to get his attention. But then after he got his attention, he settled down and said, "Man, there's an earthquake, a fire, and a wind. I'm probably going to die from that before Jezebel gets me." But now he stopped for a second. It just took a second, and God's still quiet voice came to him. And he said, "Whoa, I hear the voice of God." If you're stressed out and you're worried, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the worry is anti-faith. And without faith, how are you going to even hear God's voice if you don't have faith in who God is? So once you calm down and start looking for God, you're going to hear it. See, God's going to use sometimes these demonstrative loud and things, signs and wonders, maybe to get our attention. But I'll tell you the truth. You're not going to know who God is until you stop and listen. You know, I might have met Bobby, just say, in the Cowboy game stadium. We might have had some small talk. "Hey, Bobby, good game, and great this and that." But I wouldn't never even get to know Bobby until after the game, and we met afterwards, where there was quiet, that I got a chance to speak to him without all the distractions. We need to block and drown out these distractions no matter what it takes. We need to stay and get quiet and get before God. And you will hear that voice, and it will guide you, and it will guide you all the way to eternity.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're talking about whose voice we're listening to. And Elijah was not listening to the voice of God because he couldn't. You know, Jesus said that the distractions of this world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things will choke the word of God. Mm-hmm. So we have to get quiet before God. I mean, yeah. Elijah had just killed like 850 prophets of Baal. I mean, you know, he had just wiped them out, called fire down from heaven, and all of a sudden he starts running because I'm telling you, let's get this, because I'm telling you, this has happened to me, and it can happen to anyone, but When you get weary and you know you're doing this and you're doing that, you have to get quiet before the Lord so you can hear his still small voice. And then, because what happens is you start hearing the enemy. When you're tired is when he comes after you. And Elijah was tired. I mean, he had done a lot. You know, called fire down from heaven, wiped out 850 men.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
And, you know, it reminds me of Jesus. You know, Jesus had healed the sick, cleansed the leper, raised the dead, cast out demons. Mm-hmm. And then the next morning, it says that he arose early, long before daylight, it said. Not at daylight, long before daylight. And then after that, it says that they came looking for him. The disciples came looking for him. So people are going to come looking for you. That's why it's so important to get alone with the Lord early before the world wakes up. Because once the world wakes up, I mean, people are going to start looking for you.
Good morning, Pastor Amir King, all the way in Pakistan. We pray for those children incarcerated in chains. If you send me a picture, we pray for those children that are building bricks in Pakistan. We pray for God to get a hold of the leaders' hearts over there and turn their ways. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, brother. Yeah, here it is. Let me tell you how important it is. Sometimes, and God needed to get Elijah's attention. And of course, it was critical. Because when he heard the tornado, he's in the back of the cave, he heard the tornado and the fire, the earthquake, he put his mantle around his head and got up, because he's laying there trying to die, the Bible's telling us. He walked to the front of the cave, stood outside, and then God's voice came upon him, where he gave him explicit instructions which critically changed the path of Israel, Syria, and his own life. Because right after he got that still voice, God said, "What are you doing in this cave?" And he tell him, "I'm zealous for you, God, but they're trying to kill me." God said, "I don't want to hear all that nonsense."
Yeah, he's like, "I'm the only one. There's nobody else."
Yeah. Woe is me. God said, "Come on now." And he says to him,
7,000 more.
Yeah. So he said, "I got a remnant left for you, but ready, get, if they had a pen and a paper, he would have told him, get your pen and paper, write this down." He said, "First, you're going to go tell, you're going to anoint Hazael, king of Syria. Then you're going to go anoint Jehu, king of Israel. Then you're going to go find my servant, your brother, Elisha, and then you're going to anoint him to take your place. I'm bringing you home. You need rest."
Real rest.
Come on. And that's it. So here it is. Think about this. This is critical. And the Spirit of God's on me when I speak this. It's critical that God needs to get, and some of you people out there watching right now, God is vying for your attention. But all these things are getting in your way. Don't think the devil don't know. Don't think the devil don't know when God's about to take you to a new level.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. He needs your attention. So he had to use the earthquake, the wind, and the fire to get Elijah's attention because it was critical. And when he found the guy's attention, he sent it down. He said, and he gave him some good instructions. Boy, you don't even know. If you read on, go read 1 Kings, man. You're going to love. That's a great story. It's just great Bible history. And God's word will speak to you. You'll hear God's voice reading this. I assure you that.
Yeah, amen.
I love this, man. I read the whole chapter yesterday, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, you know, I couldn't even fast forward. I just stopped.
You know, what it reminds me of is how, you know, and I think about it in the aspect of what God did in my life. I mean, I was bad, and people watching on Facebook that had knew me 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I mean, I was bad back then in my addiction, and it only got worse. So for God to take that completely away from me where I have no desire, it's been over 9 years now, why would I be concerned about something, you know, just anything else? If he can do that, I mean, he raised me from the dead. If he can do that, why am I going to worry? Why am I going to run from Jezebel?
Man.
And that's what Elijah did.
Well, with me, God got my attention because I was running in my way. I wasn't even going to go to Denver, go buy another bag of dope, go get some alcohol, do something like that. But you know what? God got my attention because he had to stop me in my path. And it wasn't wind, fire, or a hurricane. It was the cops. They're not done the door. Come on, let's go. And he just came and they put me in it was handcuffs and a and brake pads at Tarrant County, prison, you know, that stopped me in my path. I hated that place, and I pray for it. And I go back in, you know, with Bobby a couple times, many times a month. But guess what? It's better on this side.
You know, we get to walk out.
Yeah, we get to come in and walk out. We get to walk out with Bobby. But here it is. God's calling you for your attention. God wants you to hear his voice. God wants you to stop. Take a moment. It don't take much. It takes a half a second to just a second. That's all it takes.
And you have to get to know God to even recognize his voice.
Yeah.
And I use this example. If my wife called me on the phone before caller ID, when she started talking, I would know it was her because I would recognize her voice.
Yeah.
Because I spend time with her. If someone else called me on the phone, a stranger, I wouldn't know who it was. You know, it's the same thing. You have to get to know God, and you have to do it in the quiet time.
Good morning, Henry Rangel. Good morning, Gabe Coletta, 11421. Good morning, everyone watching. Get a hold of this message. This is a good one because God is calling people. This is the time. God's calling his servants and his leaders who he wants, the people that he's called and called to him. You got to hear his voice. It's time. It's time to hear the voice. It's time, I'm telling you. When I heard his voice, I had to hear it. If I didn't hear it then, I probably would be dead in my sin and or incarcerated for 20 years. I'd be doing prison ministry, but I'd be doing it every day, all day. Okay? So we need to get a hold of this, my brothers. God's calling us. It's not God's will to use certain things to get your attention, but it's all our ignorance. So get a hold of what God's trying to say, man, and do it. Do it.
Yeah, that leads us into John 10, where Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice.
Hallelujah.
And in John 10, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out.
Yeah.
And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. That reminds me of a lady that came to our church and was talking to Pastor Eric and was just, you know, just venting to Pastor Eric and telling him how the devil's telling me that I'm unworthy. The devil's telling me that nobody loves me. The devil's telling me no one cares about me. And Pastor Eric said something that is so profound but so simple. Yeah. And what he told her was, why are you listening to the devil?
Exactly.
I mean, the devil is the father of lies. Why would you listen to him?
Yeah.
And that's so simple but so profound. And we do it, you know. It's just, you know, it's like the devil's not going to come at us in a red suit with a pitchfork. You know, he's coming at us as an angel of light. And if you're in this world, if you're being conformed to this world, you're gonna follow that. And it's like we have Halloween coming up.
Woo!
So many people, Christians, who are gonna fall into that trap. I'm telling you, don't even dress your children up. And you might say, well, it's not that big of a deal. What you're doing is you're teaching your children to be conformed to this world, and then you may not be teaching your children anything about the devil, but the devil, you're opening the door.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple. You know, I know people are gonna not like what they're hearing, but I'm telling you, it's the truth.
You're being religious. Whatever, do what you say. But the guy John Ramirez, I read a couple of his books. He was actually a devil worshiper, one of those grand wizard guys, and he goes, man, people think that Halloween's just a joke. It's not. You open up doors that you may not be able to shut. And here it is. You know, why do you invite the devil into your dinner table? You know,
and Jesus said in verse 10 that the thief comes to steal. He actually said he only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And just as the true shepherd, which is Jesus, enters by the door, Jesus told us to strive to enter the narrow gate. And right before he said enter by the narrow gate, he said that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. that it grows. So, you know, this microwave society that we live in, you know, where everybody wants to go from conference to conference and pay $75 and get this anointing and get that anointing. You know, it reminds me of Simon the Sorcerer who wanted, was going to pay money to, yeah. to for the have that power to lay hands on people yeah. and then get baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, yeah.
And Peter said, your money perish with you. Yeah. If you think you can buy that from God, I mean, you cannot pay to hear God's voice. But there is a price for the anointing, and the price is the diligently seeking.
Yeah.
That's it. You can't buy it with money.
Man, you know, and you can try. I mean, God don't need your money. And I know you probably, you know, you get a tithe next year, but God don't need your money. You know, it's about the heart. It's kind of physical thing. God just wants to see where your heart's at. You know? Good morning, Carl Bishop.
Good morning. Carlito.
Carlito, good morning. And so here's the thing. The good shepherd. Now, this is true in real life. Now, I didn't realize this, but I read a little bit about the sheep. They actually recognize the voice of the shepherd.
Yeah.
The shepherd will call them by name. He's like, come on there, sheep. And they know his voice. They will follow another voice. So when another imitator comes, and it even talks about the hireling or the hired help, that's for another time. But here it is. Know that the true master, your owner, who your master is and who your shepherd is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you will hear his voice. And it takes a minute to know his voice. And again, it didn't happen right away to me, because the devil's going to try to disguise himself as the angel of light.
Yeah.
He's going to try to convince you. And the devil, he don't come to knock down your wall with a wrecking ball. He comes with a fingernail file. He takes a little bit at a time. He tries to want to loosen one brick, just one brick get loose. So then it messes with the whole integrity of the wall. Don't you understand? He's not going to come at you with a mask. I'm the devil. No, he's going to disguise himself. He's going to try to convince him. And we'll talk about that in another verse or two when we're going to discover, because the devil will twist scripture.
Yeah.
He will do everything. He doesn't,
The thing about the devil is the devil doesn't have authority over us. Jesus gave us authority over him.
Yeah.
But he has more experience than we do. And so that's what we have to keep in mind. But his number one weapon is deception. And so if we don't know the word of God, you will be deceived. Simple as that.
It's real simple. And let me move on to let's get to Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verses 6, we're going all the way to 11. So this is a good one, too. And it says, here, seek the Lord while he may be found. All right? Call upon him. Who is him? Jesus. While he is near. Jesus is always near. We just need to call upon him. And it says, let the wicked forsake his way. So the wicked people, the people that were out there, they need to be saved. Just like, when I was wicked, I had to turn my way. So let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So, see, our thoughts are wicked. That's why it's important to renew our minds. Go to Romans and read about it. And, we have to renew our minds. Okay? We're not being conformed to this world.
Yeah, it starts out with not being conformed.
That's right. So we need to go. So again, let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's grace, my brothers and sisters, grace. He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways are the same as your ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but it waters the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, God knows what he's doing. He brings seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Okay? So keep that in mind. That's a good verse to meditate on. We're not going to have a harvest unless we have seed to sow into the ground. Okay? There we go. So, but it shall accomplish here. So my word shall go forth from my mouth, this is God's mouth, not your mouth or my mouth, from God's mouth, and it shall not return to God, me void, it says, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things which I sent it. All right, here's the thing that I get that really spoke to me when I read this verse, is the fact that we need to stop inviting God into our plans, because chances are he's not even going to show up. Just think about this. We need to conform ourselves to what God's trying to do. We need to walk in God's plans, not trying to get God to walk in our plans. Because guess what? We read that earlier in Kings. Elijah's plans were different than God's plans. He showed up to the cave. Yeah, he's trying to invite God. In fact, he wasn't even fighting God. He was trying to get away from everyone. And God said, what are you doing here? Get up and go, because you need to anoint Hazael, you need to anoint Yehu, and you need to go find your replacement.
Yeah.
I'm putting you into retirement. So, see, that was God's plan. Okay, but, we know that Elijah had different plans. So, look, here's the thing. Stop trying to invite God into your plans, because I've been there. I invited not only God, I thought God was with me, but I invited Pastor Bobby to talk about it. When I was doing the ravioli thing, I run around town, tons of ravioli. My plan was, got me tired, and many other people anointed by God tired.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes, it looked good on Facebook. Yes, it did. It got a lot of likes. Yeah, people got come to know who I was. But guess what? It wasn't what God wanted for me. And we need to know that, brothers and sisters. If you're watching it, God got a specific plan for you. And until you stand, put down everything that you have, every desire, everything you think you want, but everything God wants to give you, you're going to be going amiss.
Yeah, Carl typed in here that, you know, that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he said, Lord, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, your will, not mine. And I'm telling you, if we get a hold of what Jesus did and realize if Jesus had to do these things, what makes us think we're exempt from it? I mean, it'll change your life. It really will. But Jesus, you know, he was here for the will of the Father. And, you know, I love this scripture because it talks about the seed and that incorruptible seed. God's word is incorruptible seed, and it will cause us to grow, and it will not return to him void. So if we get a hold of that, that the word of God, if we understand that it's not coming back void, it's going to accomplish what God pleases, then it'll change everything.
It's important
we get our peace.
And people say, well, God's ways are above mine, isn't this? But you need to know, it's not that he's trying to put us down. He's trying to encourage us that I got a plan for you, my child. Don't come trying to figure this out on your own. You don't need to. I already made the way. I predestined you for these things to walk in. And we need to know. It's important. We can't be just, you know, and I was talking to Sister Laura on the way in today about, it don't always feel good. Everybody's running around and got this misconception. If you're listening, God wants you to hear this. It ain't always about peace. Oh, it feels so good. It must be God. That's a lie. Because guess what? Look at what Elijah, God wanted to do something else. He was looking to die. Noah, Moses, all the great servants, everyone was called to God. Jesus prayed right before he got hung on the cross. Take this cup, but not my will, your will. And until you come to say, God, not my will. Yeah, I had plans on being a great, open up, this thing for you, God, but that ain't going to be it unless God tells you. And God's going to say, no, I want you to do something better. And guess what? Whenever you put down your plans, which are ridiculous and minuscule and minute, God's going to give you something bigger and better. And he's going to show you his glory. Because if you could do it, the reason why all these servants were nervous and didn't feel right because they were thinking about it in their flesh.
That's right.
And then Noah was, how am I going to do it? What is this, God? And then Moses, no, God, I can't speak. And no, God, I ain't doing it. He jumped and went under in the bottom of the ship. Don't you realize? Because we think about it, and that's the problem. The second we stop thinking about it in our flesh with our understanding, because his ways and his thoughts are higher, we got to say, God, we trust you. Anything short of that, it's going to bring you discomfort and disrupt you.
Yeah, you know, I've heard people talk about how when you become a Christian, when you're born again, that, you know, I've heard them say, well, you know, everybody thinks that their life is going to be, you know, great and this, that, and the other. You know, it's, to me, my life is so much better. I mean, you know, so I disagree with the fact that you think if you become a Christian that you're going to be missing out. I mean, I'll never forget when I was teaching the first time I ever went into a prison to teach the 12 steps of breaking the chains of addiction, and I was praying to the Lord, and I asked him, Lord, how am I going to teach this when you delivered me in one step? And I started thinking about all the times I tried to quit doing drugs and try to quit drinking, and I'd always think I'd be missing out, and the Holy Spirit told me to make a list of what you're missing out on now that you're serving me. I mean, divorce, prison, you know, poverty. You know, you miss out on what you're supposed to miss out on. So when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, your life will be better. I mean, it's not hard being a Christian. I mean, sometimes to the flesh, you're right. It is. But I'm telling you, what's hard is waking up with a hangover. What's hard is waking up to an empty house that, you know, your wife emptied the house out. You know, that's hard. It's not hard being a Christian if you're walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the flesh, it's hard.
See, here's the thing. Once we surrender to God's will, but again, we're not going to know God's will until we stop and hear his quiet voice. I couldn't hear the will of God's voice, you know, moving tons of raviolis around, getting borrowing trailers and moving stuff around. I was like a Walmart on wheels, you know. I was giving out more ravioli than Walmart, I think, at some time in that area of Fort Worth. The thing was this, and again, I'm not here to say, woo-woo, I'm here to tell you the truth. The truth will set you free. The fact is, you need to hear God's voice. So guess what, everyone, and I, you know, God, I can't have granola bars and stuff, too, when I first called, but the fact is, there came a point I had to sit quiet, and every door got shut in my face, and I had to sit quiet for about a month before I recognized, because the door was open the whole time, but I kept passing it up for the prison ministry. And then finally, I got done with the ravioli ministry. I saw the door for the prison ministry, and I go, whoa, that door, there's light behind that door. Let me walk through that one, because the ravioli ministry, there was no light. It was like the door was shut, slammed, nailed. God said, no more. What are you doing? You're getting in my way.
And you'll know the fruit. You know, Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit, and you'll also know a ministry by its fruit. You know, we're seeing God work miraculously in the prison. I mean, it's just amazing.
Brother Henry says, we're in the realm of the Spirit. The Spirit does the work. We don't. That's right. And then when we do the work with our physical body, God's going to use this vessel, but it's the Spirit going through. Not by power, not by might, but by my
That's
Spirit.
Right.
So guess what? Jesus, I've come to this. I know this and I know this. Jesus does the heavy lifting. God does the heavy lifting. We just show up in obedience. So here it is. Once you surrender to God's will and say, look, God, not my way, but your way, because like, your ways are higher. I come to understand it, and your thoughts are higher.
You know,
heaven is higher.
You know, the Bible says that we're his workmanship and that we're created for good works that he prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And like Brother Henry's saying, that when we walk in the works that God prepared before the foundation of the earth, we're walking in the Spirit, and it doesn't seem like work. We just flow with the Holy Ghost.
All right. Now, here's the thing. You know, when we come to see it, you know, like, God is high, but we don't think that. We think that God blessed us with so much wisdom that he's given us this wisdom. So here's the thing that we get caught up with. We think we're smart. We're smart as God. We think God could use our opinion, right? God, let me tell you about this. I think you should try it this way. God's laughing at us. Your wisdom is my foolishness. The wisdom that I have, I can't even put into your mind, because your mind can't comprehend, and you'll never comprehend in your flesh what the wisdom of my Spirit is, and that's in heaven. You'll get to know. So when we think like, oh, well, you know, wow, God gave me great wisdom. Let me tell you something. We need to slow ourselves down, too. If God bless you with wisdom, be blessed. But don't let it get to your head and over your head, because here it is. We're trying to reinvent the wheel, a lot of us in the church. We're trying to invent new ways how to grab, oh, God, I can, because I even thought the same way. Oh, God, yeah, I'm going to get more people to you through my Facebook page or through this new design and website. Don't reinvent the wheel. Nothing new under the sun, it tells us. So why are we trying to think that with all this new technology that's accelerated from the time of the first apostles, there was no one wiser than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he didn't have a Facebook or an internet or even a car or an airplane, but he lit the world on fire with 11, 12 others, right? If you want to,
I mean, he got up long before daylight and spent time with the Father quiet.
He didn't get up to make a Facebook post or answer his emails, okay? We know this because he wasn't there. But he set this world on fire. His words, generation after generation later, no one even, man, they didn't even have, barely had the paper to document these books. They were still using scrolls back then. How did this stuff get down 2,000 years later? I don't know. Yeah, I do know. The Spirit of God kept it going.
That's right.
So don't think that you're going to open up the great new ministry on Facebook and you're going to do the next great internet program that's going to lead people to salvation. But guess what? It's the only way to lead someone to salvation is by word of mouth, it says in the Bible. How will they know if they know? How will they know if someone doesn't preach? And how will they preach if they're not sent? And how are they sent? Because it's the word of God that you get your faith, and it's by a brother. It's always been intended that way. I don't think you got a new. I don't even know about handout tracts anymore. Sometimes it was that easy to hand a tract out.
Yeah, you want to plant the seeds, and some of y'all are watching on Facebook, so Facebook's not all bad.
Yeah. No, but take this and go get into the Bible.
That's right.
Don't be.
You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I think we're going to a commercial.
Yeah, okay. Pride will get in the way. You want to block out God's voice? Let your ego be inflated. Let pride, because he resists the pride. Calm yourself. Slow your roll. You know, don't think so highly of yourself. Think of yourself with sober judgment, right? And know that you belong to God, okay? Because pride will block out every. You never hear God's voice when you're caught up in your wisdom. And
let me say this. Yeah, and, you know, you're talking about pride. Humbling ourselves is simply understanding that God's ways are higher than our ways and doing it his way and not our own. Simple as that.
That's right. Wisdom, let me tell you, just know that God's ways are higher than ours. And we can't come to stand. That's why we need God. Let invite Jesus into your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Because you're going to be led by the Spirit one way or another. That's what it's done to you with Michael. We're going to be led by the Spirit. You better pray and know the Holy Spirit. You're going to be led by something else. Like Halloween, you're going to be led by a demon with a Holy Spirit mask on. Okay? That's the truth, man. The devil disguises himself for the end of life. So you better get real. You know, you're going to have a trick or treat coming up if you don't know God's voice. And we're going to take a commercial.
It's definitely going to be a trick.
Come on, here. All right, Facebook, we're going on commercial. There we go.
Yeah. All right. Everybody get up. You may be in your car, get ready to go worship. Or wherever you may be. I'm just going to take out this time to talk about my Savior. Like a gentle breeze, fresh off the ocean seas, pleasant, all pleasant, sweet like a honeycomb, all your favorite piece of candy. There's something about when I hear that name,
when I hear that name,
my emotions get the best of me, come,
when I hear that name,
people stop and stare, cause I cannot come down. When I hear that name, I lose all self-control.
And if you don't mind, I'm just going to talk about it.
Something about that name.
Something about the name that we call Jesus.
Sounds so good, don't you agree?
Something about the name.
Something about that name.
Something about the name that we call Jesus.
I'm just talking about my Savior.
It's like a smell of sweet perfume.
Like sweet perfume. Just like sweet perfume.
Your name could light the darkest of rooms.
Darkest room. I love you good. When I hear that name,
my emotions get the best of me.
When I hear that name,
people stop and stare, but I don't care. He's my shield, my hiding place, a joy in which I can refrain from dancing.
Blessings go down. The praises go up. I'm talking about here now. Hey,
said it's something I can't take. Something about the money.
It's the mentioning of it. There is heat, power,
something about the
shelter.
Oh, it's something.
Let's take it on home.
Said it's something. About that name,
about that name.
I just can't explain. Oh, something about that name of Jesus. Oh,
something about the name
that we call
Jesus.
I can see it all night long.
In the good.
Bean Creek, I got that address right.
Okay. This is a men's encounter. It's not a men's retreat.
Oh, no, no.
Men's do not retreat.
We don't.
Right?
That's praise the Lord.
We come straight at the giant.
That's the problem, Bobby. So here's the thing. A lot of people come to the Lord and they say, ooh, now it's time for me to put my feet up and kick back. And they do retreat. They say, well, let me fall into my closet. Let me buy another Bible. Let me go buy a book from, you know, this month and author. Let me watch a couple more hours of Daystar. I'm gonna stop watching Girls Gone Wild videos. I'm gonna watch Jesus Christ videos. And they think that no, it's more than that. God got a specific thing for you.
That's right.
We need to walk in that. So so what was this lunch? Oh, the men's retreat. The men's retreat. We don't retreat.
It's not a men's retreat.
Yeah,
men's
we don't
encounter.
Retreat. It's not a retreat. It's an encounter.
Men's Encounter, October 11th and 12th. Comment on here, and we'll get you the information.
Yeah, that's right.
Also, Crosswalk Church.
All right, look out.
2601 Thomas Road in Haltham City. Very, you know, I want to share what Pastor Eric yesterday said about the guy in the back of the end zone. Man, that was powerful. I'll share that in a little bit.
All right, and we're going to do a plug here, I guess, my show. And she's looking at us, so we better plug up. This is my show, whip again. She got a CD. What?
Saturday morning, the women's meeting Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Michelle will be there, and then they're going to eat lunch at El Chico after that.
Oh, come on. That ain't a good advertising. You're going to have a Mexican lunch, all right? I don't know about El Chico. But. All right, here it is. She's going to be there. She's anointed. And the women, maybe will talk about it tomorrow, of course, and plug it more. Okay, good. But here's the thing. Get involved with a group, a meeting. You want to hear the voice of God. And if you have issues with it, get around people. Get around people that do know God's voice. And they can help you.
That's
because,
right.
Because... And sometimes they can prophesy over you. They can speak words over you.
You know, that's another thing that Elijah did. He went and he secluded himself.
Yeah.
You know, we need to stay around brothers and sisters. Whenever the enemy's coming at us, we don't want to seclude ourselves. You know, we need to stay around. The Bible says to not forsake ourselves from assembling together with other believers, especially as we see the day approaching. And that day is capitalized in my Bible.
The devil's coming at you with a band of demons. Remember, one-third of heaven's angels got cast out with him. So why are you going to go to a gang fight by yourself? You know what? Stand with brothers and sisters. And you don't need many. You need one or two to stand in agreement with you to watch your back. And the whole one-third of heaven's cast out angels, these demons, can't even come near you because you have the authority.
Well, and not only that, if one-third of the demons are coming after you, that means we have two-thirds on our side.
Hallelujah. I never do that, Bobby. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, Jeffrey Hassel. Good morning. Woo!
Bass player. Yes.
Oh, no, drummer. What am I talking about? No.
See? Well, I'm not agreeing with you. So you got to watch what voice you're listening to. You'll automatically agree with that voice. We really have to pay attention.
Wow, that's a good point. You better, but you at least you caught your senses. After you thought about it for not even a half a second. Thank you, Lord. See? It didn't take long for Elijah to get his wits about it. Look, I'm going back to scripture because that's what I'm annoyed to speak on. I don't think I've made a mistake yet, but let me know if I have. All right. I guess it's up. Now it's on you, Bobby, to go into Luke. It's mine. You sure?
Say it's already.
Okay, all right. Yes, I guess so. All right, this scripture doesn't belong to me, but all of us. I'll share it with you. It's Luke 4. We're going to talk about the temptation that Christ had in the desert. We're going to just break out for just a few scriptures. We're going to make a good point here. So Jesus got filled with the Spirit. He went into the desert. But here's what it says in Luke 4, 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he got baptized, got hit with the Spirit, boom, right into God sent him immediately and assigned him to go into the desert. All right. So and into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when he had ended, he was hungry. And sure enough, when he was hungry, his flesh, the devil came up to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. So see, if, I'm going to stop right here, if, that big if, I am, if. So the devil, he's not going to say God don't exist. He's going to say if. He's not going to tell you, there's no such thing as God. He'll save that for later. That's dessert. But if you bite on the appetizer. The appetizer is the doubt, the seed of doubt he puts in your heart. So if you are the Son of God, he's going to say, God, there's no God. He's going to start off there, but it'll lead you down that path. So he commanded the stone to be bread. But here's the thing. There wasn't a sin to turn stone to bread. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. He could have done that. But the motive behind it is the sin. So we need to realize that. And a lot of times, you know, giving a sandwich to somebody is not a sin. Boy, if you're doing it the wrong heart, it is a sin. And so here it is. Here's what it said. So he said, command this stone to be bread if you're the Son of God. But Jesus answered him, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. Every word of God. So here it is. This word is your weapon. This word is your, this word, to be proficient in this word, it's what all we got. It's through the Spirit. This word will lead us into eternity. But it will protect us right here, right now. We need to be kingdom-minded, as it says in Matthew 6:30. Not using our own methods or motives. We have to know that God is God, and we have to know that this word will lead us in the right path.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I was talking about a little bit earlier, that if Jesus had to do these things, if Jesus had to tell the devil, it is written, to get him to flee, then what about us? I mean, that's the same thing. The Bible says that no temptation will overtake us except that it's common to man, but God will make a way of escape. And that way of escape is the same way Jesus did it. If the devil's coming at you telling you that you're unworthy, then you tell the devil, it is written, I'm a child of God in this world, but not of this world. But in order to say it is written, you have to know what is written.
That's right. Amen. The devil will mess with your emotions. And guess what? God's not about emotions and feelings. God's about truth and truth and truth.
That's
so
right.
When the devil, that's why we need to let our emotions decrease. Because the devil will play. He'll give us some sadness and guilt and grief and disgust and all this stuff. These are emotions that we need to get under control. When we start feeling these things, we know God is not of guilt or grief. The second I feel the littlest drop of guilt or grief, I'm right in there. Boom, I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in tongues. I'm reading the Bible. I'm watching a movie about Jesus. I'm doing anything to get my mind shifted. Okay? Don't be playing with the devil. Because if you play with the devil, you're going to get burned eventually. You need to get in God. You know, we need to love Jesus. We need to love Jesus and hate the things of this world. If we don't, we're going to be in this temptation.
And the devil, the voice of the devil comes at us in our thoughts. And the Bible says that we can take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, but we cannot take the thought captive to the obedience of Christ unless we know Christ by knowing his word. We talked about it, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, where Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. The Word of God is the flesh that we need to eat. We have to eat the Word of God, drink in the Spirit of God, or we'll have no part of Him.
Again,
that's how we take the thought.
We need to know, again, what you said was important, because I'm glad you brought that up, because the thing, you can read the Bible all you want. You can read that verse about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. But until you go out and do it, you're still just we need to be doers of the word. We need to have enough faith that when we read it, we need to go out and activate it through faith and walk in it.
And let me explain something. What that means by taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ is when you get a thought that the devil gives you, and I'm going to say this because it's rampant in the church. Let's say that you have a thought that says, you know what, I love my girlfriend. We plan on getting married. We're just going to shack up. We're going to live together. We're going to sleep together. God knows our heart. You know, we're under grace. If you have that thought and you want to take it, you know, captive to the obedience of Christ, you understand that the Word of God says no fornicator will inherit the kingdom of God. So you understand that that thought is coming from the enemy because it does not line up with the Word of God.
Right.
So that's how you take that thought captive. But you have to know the Word of God in order to take that thought captive.
That's right. Your feelings and your emotions and your fleshly desires will lead you, a married man, to another married woman, but you're in the church. Then you're going to say, well, it must be God because we both love each other so much.
Yeah,
it feels so right. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I personally almost fell for that. Don't you dare. You better get in the Word. And you know why? Because I was ignorant in the Word. Then all of a sudden my pastor said, are you kidding me? Never a time that God will never do anything against his Word.
And I love what Pastor Eric does. You know, when he'll counsel someone, he'll open the Bible up. You know what? He don't really want us to have his opinion. He'll show in Scripture, and that's how you take that thought captive. That's how you know it's the enemy.
Yeah.
And if it's the world, it's the enemy. The devil is the god of this world.
Believe it. Yeah. Here's the thing. Until we truly love Jesus, which is the Word of God, until we love the Word of God more than we love the flesh in this world, we're always going to be drawn into temptation. The reason why Jesus was able to rebuke all three of the temptations of the devil is because he loved God, and he loved God's word way more than he loved this world.
Yeah.
And if he had any little bit of this world in him, he wouldn't have got on a cross.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, I was praying and meditating on that scripture in 1 Corinthians that he gives us a way of escape. And, man, I mean, I'm not there yet, but when I read that scripture, and if you see it any other way, let me know. But when I read that scripture, it's telling me that we can walk the way Jesus walked. And, you know, like I said, I'm not there yet. But if he gives us a way of escape, any temptation, it says every temptation that is common to man, we have a way of escape. That tells me that we can walk in that perfection in this earth.
As best as possible, man. You know, we need to do everything we can. We're called to do more than, you know, go the extra mile, right? Everyone heard that one. That's from the Bible, because Jesus said if a soldier tells you carry his bags a mile, you take him 2 miles. So go the extra mile. That is biblical, when that expression. It comes from the Bible. So guess what? We're to do more, not just barely enough to squeak by. If God tells us to give out one sandwich, chances are he really wants to give us to give out 2 or 3, because but we got to do a little bit more than what God expects. That's the Christian way, you know? So we need to step up and do everything that we can do to lead people to the Lord, right?
Amen.
Get them going. Come on now.
You know, you're talking about when the devil said, if you are the Son of God, that's another thing that the enemy will do, is he'll create doubt. And, you know, that leads us to the next scripture in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 3, in the beginning, I mean, this is when it all started, that if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. The Bible says that the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say, You must not eat of the fruit of any of the trees in the garden. The devil will create doubt. Did God really say? And he'll do it in a way. I mean, he goes on and she said, no, God didn't say we couldn't. Only one tree we can't eat of or touch, that she said. And the devil just came at her and created that doubt. Did God really say that? Then he said, what God's saying that to you for is because he knows when you eat it, you're going to become like him and become like gods, which was a complete lie. The Bible goes on. It says before that happened that Adam and Eve were naked but not ashamed. And as soon as that happened, as soon as they sinned, then sin, the shame and guilt came in. And, you know, it really is so amazing to me how the devil, Lucifer, said, I will become higher than God. I will do this. I will do that. He had five I wills. And I thought that Adam had four I wills. But the Lord was showing me he had five I wills as well. He said, I will eat that fruit that I'm not supposed to eat of. That was the first one. Then he said, and God said, Adam, where are you? And he said, I was scared, so I hid. I heard your voice, and I was naked. I will. As soon as sin came in, it became about us. The selfishness, the self-centeredness, as soon as sin came in, it became about us instead of about him. And I'm telling you, if you're out there watching right now, the devil's going to come at you, and he's going to tell you the same thing. Did God really say, just like we talked about, God really say you can't sleep with your girlfriend? You are in love. You know, you're going to get married. Did God really say that? He's going to throw that in there. You know, he's going to say, oh, one little drink's not going to hurt. Did God really say you can't have one? I mean, the Christian community says it all the time. God said don't get drunk. He didn't say you couldn't drink. Well, you can't get drunk if you don't drink.
Well, you turn water into wine, though, Bobby. Come on now. It's all right, right?
I love what Jonathan Shuttlesworth says. If you can turn your tap water on, your faucet on, and it turns into wine, drink all you want.
Yeah. Well, there you go. And then whatever, chance that might be the devil, too. Or he's doing his signs, wonders, and things that he talks about in the end days. Here's the thing. We need to know that God is real and he has a purpose for us. We can't be running around that town thinking that we're smarter than God. Even though now that we have the knowledge of evil and good, that doesn't mean now we have to use our the word of God to discern it. If you're not discerning the things that are going on, if your discernment is not sharp, then you're in trouble. Because the devil's going to come at you. And we need to know that we must stay in the things of God. We can't just go doing the things we want. We must not just follow. Don't follow the preacher. Don't follow the TV evangelist. Don't follow the person in the church. Follow God, and he'll show you who you could trust, and you'll be able to discern the words.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about what voice, whose voice are you listening to? And I'm the devil, like I said, he's gonna do just like he did with Adam and Eve, just like he did with Jesus. Did God really say? And you know, did God really say that you can have one foot in and one foot out? I mean, he didn't. You know, we talked about this. Jesus is coming back for a bride. He's not coming back for a one-night stand. He's not coming back for a girlfriend. He's not coming back for a fiance. He's coming back for a bride.
Not coming back for the booty call.
You know, another thing that I was sitting here meditating on, and the Lord was showing me this morning that, like, how many men, this is a men's show, but how many men or women, if you were engaged to someone and they had three or four other lovers, would you still marry them? I mean, understand that Jesus is coming back for a bride, not a girlfriend.
Man,
and he wants all of us. You know, and another thing the devil's going to do is he's going to come at you and say, did God really say that you can be forgiven? And just shut him down, you know. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And, you know, we're talking about the voice here. Revelation 3, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and him with me. If you're out there on Facebook right now, on blog radio, And you know that you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know that you feel it in your heart. You can feel the Holy Spirit drawing you. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Make that decision right now. if you're out there and you've made that decision, but you've fallen off into the world, and you know that he's calling you all the way in, you're acting like you're a girlfriend or a fiance, but you're not acting like the bride of Christ, but you're ready to make that decision, do it right now. All you have to do is call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Blog Radio listeners, for tuning in. That's got the altar call. And call on the name of God if you're listening on Blog Radio. And tune in next week and tune in tomorrow for the ladies' edition of the original Morning at the Men's Mansion. And, and if you're out here, tell them, Bobby.